بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره إن شاء الله. Tonight we talk about what happens after the advent of Imam Mahdi Ajalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif in respect to religion, in respect to moral situation, in respect to general condition of human beings. Of course, we have already talked about the situation respect to science and technology and human understanding. But the things which are related to the last section that we had, we took tonight and inshallah tomorrow. The very first thing that you find in many hadith about Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif is the establishment of justice. And this is very important. If you remember, in Muharram, 3 years ago, we had a section about characteristics of Shia Islam, and we took 3 sessions on justice. And we said justice is very important for us, and it's not accidental that we have chosen justice as one of our principles of religion. And this is very far-reaching concept. It's not just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, because normally we say, you know, it's divine justice. No. Justice for us is very comprehensive concept. It affects all our understanding of the world, of the relation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and us, of the relation between we human beings. Even if you remember, I said, even in our relation to ourselves, we must be just. A person who does not satisfy these genuine desires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in every human being, this person has not been just to himself. For example, we have desire for knowledge. If a person doesn't go for knowledge, this person has not been just to himself. We all have desire for going closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't satisfy this, we are not just to ourselves. And this is why we have in Quran the idea that whoever commits a sin, he has been doing injustice to himself. مَنْ يَتَعَدَّ خُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. So when we talk about justice or adala, we are not just talking about my relation with you or my relation with the people in my family, my relation with my, for example, colleagues, my relation with the people who are above me or under me or whatsoever. No. Justice also is my relation to myself. When we say, for example, Imam after prayer must be adil, must be just. What does it mean? This means that this person must not commit any sin, even if this sin is a very private sin. Why? Because if he is committing sin, he is doing injustice to himself. He is depriving himself from what level he can reach, what level he can elevate himself to. So it's a very important concept for us. And normally Muslim ethicists, when they talk about virtues, the only virtue that they say, as far as I know, I haven't come across any other virtue that they say
without any exception, it's always good. Justice is always good. Any other virtue sometimes may have some exceptions. For example, to be honest is very good. To tell the truth is very good. But there may be cases in which you are not supposed to tell the truth. If by telling the truth you may endanger an innocent life, so you are not supposed to tell the truth. You must keep silent, or even, you know, if you are forced to say something, you may do toria, or, you know, say something and mean something else, so that you don't endanger the innocent life. Anything, any virtue that you mention, as far as we know, as far as we have, you know, made inquiry in the books, may have some exception. It's only justice that is always good. And on the other hand, zulm or injustice is always bad. You cannot show me an example of injustice and say, okay, in this case, injustice is good. No. Sometimes people ask, okay, if this is the case, why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat us with His favor and with His generosity rather than treating us with His justice? Say, Allahana amilna bifazlik wa la tu'amilna bi'adlik. So if justice is good, so why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to treat us with His justice but with His mercy? The answer is that here justice is used in a specific sense, in a narrower sense. Here justice means to give people what they exactly deserve. Nothing more, nothing less. Okay? If you, for example, owe me some money, justice requires to give my money back. Okay? If you give me my money back and something more, this is not against justice. Yes, this is not justice in its narrower sense. For example, if I have lent you £100 and you give me £100 back, this is justice. If you give me £120 back, as a gift, not as an interest. This is mustahab, you know, when you borrow some money, you give some gift. A book, maybe a bunch of flowers, what, you know, something as a gift to show that you appreciate. Okay, if you give me more, this is not against justice in the sense that I am talking about. Okay? But it is against justice in its narrower sense, which means not to give anything more nor less. Exactly the same. What we are frightened is that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats us with justice in its narrower sense. And that means to give us what we exactly deserve. Nothing more. This is very frightening. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives what we deserve without any mercy, without any forgiveness, without any bonus from Himself, this is very frightening. And this is the meaning of su'ul hisab. You may remember this story that there were two mu'min and one of them had lent money to the other person and the other person was putting pressure on that person who couldn't afford back, that you must pay me, you know, full, all the amount. So they went to Imam Sadiq and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told him, why you put pressure on your brother? He doesn't have the money and, you know, you want everything, even the penny, every penny back. And then he said, this is what he owes to me. I'm not asking him anything more. This is what he owes to me. He must pay back. Then Imam said, have you not recited this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَخَافُونَ سُوَ الْحِسَابِ. Believers have the fear of bad reckoning, bad kind of
calculer on the day of judgment. What does it mean? Does it mean that mu'mineen are frightened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may treat them unjustly? No. What mu'mineen are frightened is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them for every bit and small things that they were supposed to do and they failed. Every bit, every misqal or zarra that they have done wrong. This is what they are frightened. Okay? So, when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please treat us with your mercy. This mercy is not against justice of Allah. This doesn't mean, okay, this is zulm. No, this is mercy which is included in the general concept of justice. In other words, we don't say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't give us what we deserve. We say give us what we deserve and more. Okay? So there is no exception for the concept of justice. Justice is always good and justice is very far-reaching. Okay, now when we come to the time of Imam Zaman, a very important, or maybe the most important, because it's the most frequently mentioned thing about Imam Zaman, is that Imam Zaman establishes justice, fills the earth with justice, after being filled with zulm and jor. What does zulm and jor, or what do zulm and jor mean? Some ulama like Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi, they have said zulm and jor are different. If they are used together, they mean different things. If they are used separately, so one of them may cover the other. But if they are used together, they mean differently. Zulm is when you don't give someone what he deserves and take it for yourself. This is zulm. If someone belongs to you or it's your right, but I misappropriate, this is zulm. But if something belongs to you, and instead of giving to you, I give to the people that I love, this is jawr. And this is normally what the people who have power do. Instead of distributing, you know, resources in a fair way, they give it to the people that they love. And this is why you see still in Iraq, there are people who love Saddam. Why? Because these are the people who were very much favored by Saddam, and during his rule, they had all the power and money. So now they are mourning for Saddam. And it's good that they are thankful. They have this virtue that they are thankful to Saddam. Okay. So, zulm and jor is different. So zulm, in its specific sense, when it is used next to jor, means not to give to the people what they deserve and take it for yourself. And jor means, no, just you misplace things. Instead of giving to the person that he deserves, give it to other person. Because he has some good relation to you. He's your friend or he's your relative or whatsoever. So when Imam al-Zaman ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif comes, he stops all this. Everything will go to its own place, its own proper place. And this is adl, to put everything in its own place. Maulavi has a beautiful poem about the concept of adl. Of course, I recite this small part of it. And he wants to say that how it's important is to put everything in its place. Adl chibovat. What is adl? Vaz andar mouzash. Zulm chibovat. Vaz dar na mouzash. Adl is to put everything in its place, and zulm is to put everything in its right place.
Indeed, this definition is from Imam Ali. Imam Ali in Nahj al-Balagha says, "Al-adl waz'u shay'i fi mawz'i." Adl chibat abd ashjar. Zulm chibat abdadan khar. Says adl is to water tree, flowers. This is adl. What is zulm? Zulm is to waste water by giving water to some unuseful things that grow by themselves and, you know, are harmful and annoy people. Maybe they injure people because they have, you know, some, you know, blade or some throw. موزه رخ شهنهی ویرانی است. موزه شه پیل هم نادانی است. Then he refers to the game of chess. He says, if you put king in place of, for example, wazir, or on the other hand, if you put, for example, elephant in the case of king, he says, this is zulm. If you put everything in its own place, in its appropriate place, this is adl. You know, so with these examples, he wants to give you the idea that adl is to put everything in its own proper place. Even our teacher was telling us, you know, that if you have, for example, Quran and Mafatihul Jalan, you must not put Mafatihul Jalan on the Quran. You must put Quran on Mafatihul. Although Mafatihul Janan is a book of dua and there are also many surahs of the Quran, but still, Quran must be put above Mafatih. Is it clear? So, this is the concept of Adl. And Imam Zaman establishes Adl in its very, very comprehensive way. Now, I mentioned some hadith that I have not mentioned before. I have already mentioned some hadith about this, but I mentioned some new hadith. For example, one of the things that we have about Imam Zaman is from Imam Baqir Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif by Imam Baqir alayhi salam. إِذَا قَامَ قَائِمُ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ قَسَّمَ بِالسَّبِيَّةِ وَعَدَلَ فِي الرَّئِيَّةِ. When Imam Zaman comes, he distributes among the people in a very equal and fair way. There would be no discrimination against anyone. He distributes everything in an equal way. Another hadith, whatever money remains and belongs to the public, Imam Zaman distributes among the people. And this hadith says Imam Zaman distributes every month twice. So you will have monthly two salaries in every month. And also every year twice he gives just bonus. In some countries they give every year once, but Imam Zaman gives twice a year, and also every month two salaries. وَيُسَوِّي بَيْنَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى لَا تَرَى مُحْتَاجًا إِلَى الزَّكَاةِ. Imam distributes everything in the way that there will be no person who needs zakat. In Akhir al-Zaman you have zakat, but you don't know what to do with zakat. This is a headache. You go everywhere to find a person who is needy, but you don't find any needy person. This is what happens in the time of Imam Zaman. Another thing is that
in Akhir al-Zaman, when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam acts according to Adala, we should expect that there would be some people who would be angry. And these people would make lots of challenges against Imam Zaman. And in one hadith, it's mentioned that they will argue from the Quran. They want to teach Imam Zaman Quran. They say, oh, what you are doing is against Quran. And this is something sad that happens, that even some people who believe, they would argue against Imam Zaman because it's very difficult to accept justice. This was the problem of Imam Ali also. Why these people went against Imam Ali? Some of them, like Talha and Zubair, they were close friends of, and some of them relatives of Imam Ali. But this justice is very difficult to accept, you know, only what you deserve, not to expect anything more. This is very difficult. In any case, I don't want to delay. You should know that there are 130 hadith about this concept of adl in the time of Imam Zaman. 130. We just mentioned 3. So this is a very profound idea. And this shows, because, you know, we said we should take also practical lessons. This shows that justice is what humanity needs. Why so much stress on justice? This shows that this is the solution, this is the medicine for human problems. If you want people flourish and become what they can become, you need justice. So everyone must try to start this. You don't need to wait till Imam Zaman comes. Start practicing justice from your own self, from your own house, from your own place of work, from your own school, whatever you know you have, whatever capacity you have, try to promote the concept of justice. And for the big international problems that we have today, if really we want solution, everyone must find what is the requirement of justice. If you observe justice, most of the problems would go away. Okay, this is about the concept of justice. Another thing in the time of Imam Zaman is that people would be interested in piety, in spirituality, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After committing all those great sins, even the people who have not been mu'min, they start changing themselves. They become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentions that one of the things that Imam Zaman does after establishing justice, يَمْلَأُ قُلُوبَ عِبَادِهِ عِبَادَةً. Imam Zaman fills the heart of people with the worship of Allah. So people would love to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would love to say salat, would love to pray, to supplicate, to invocate. And there would be no problem, no obstacles, no distractions. And this is a very important concept. I just have selected some hadith for you in this regard. For example, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, يَبْعَثُ الْمَهْدِي إِلَىٰ أُمَرَائِهِ بِسَائِرِ الْأَمْصَارِ بِالْعَدْلِ بِالنَّاسِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Again, this concept of justice. Imam Zaman sent his governors to different parts of the world to establish justice. يَذْهَبُ الرِّبَى وَالزِّنَى وَشُرْبُ الْخَمْرُ وَالرِّيَاخِ. Usury will stop. fornication and adultery will stop. Drinking alcohol will stop. To show off riya will stop. Okay, when will these stop? So what happened? Then تُقْبَلُ النَّاسِ عَلَى الْعِبَادَةِ. Then people start enjoying ibadah. When all these obstacles go away, you have halal rizq, and you don't have any commitment in haram, so then you start enjoying ibadah. وَالْمَشْرُوع, whatever is legal, whatever is permitted, people go for that. وَالْدِيَانَ, religiosity. وَالصَّلَاةَ فِي الْجَمَعَاتِ, people then attend to the congregational prayers. وَالْتَطُولُ الْأَعْمَارِ, lives of the people become longer than, because you know, this life that we have is not necessarily to be so short, 60 years, 70 years, you know, 100, we can live much more. This is because of bad, maybe food or pollution or lots of, you know, stress that we have, many, many problems that we have. If we act and live according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us, inshallah, at the time of Imam Zaman, we can live much longer. There is no problem in our organs. It's not that, for example, our heart cannot beat for 200 years. No, it can beat for 200 years. It's not any problem in the texture or in the way that it is built or designed. The problem is that we don't live in a proper way. So, lives of the people become longer. People would give back the trust to each other. And even the nature would become more fruitful. Trees would bear more fruits. Everything would flourish. Another hadith . This hadith is from Ibn Abbas. You know Ibn Abbas. He mentions this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is about the story of ascension to heaven, story of Mi'raj. The Prophet said, "When I went to Mi'raj and I reached Sidratul Muntaha," and you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, "Summa dana fatadalla fakana qaba qawsayn aw adna." The Prophet went very close, closer than any human being and even than angels. The distance was shorter than anything that we can imagine. Then the Prophet said, "Nadani Rabbi." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me, "Ya Muhammad, anta abdi wa ana rabbuk." You are my servant and I am your master. "Fali fakhda." You must be humble. You must worship me. You must trust me. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet. And this is interesting, that in Islam, by servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you raise yourself. You promote yourself. "Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fa'inni razitu baka abdan wa habiban wa rasulan wa nabiyan." Mentions about the Prophet, about Imam Ali. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Imam Mahdi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "With Mahdi, أَعْمُرُ أَرْضِي بِتَسْبِيهِ وَتَقْدِيسِ وَتَحْلِيلِ وَتَكْبِيرِ وَتَمْجِيدِ." It's very beautiful. With Mahdi, I restore, I improve, I rebuild my earth with my glorification and with praising me, with mentioning tasbih, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. It means that Imam Mahdi would be an instrument for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire people to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invocate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what makes the situation in the whole world better. This is the improvement. وَأُطَحْرُ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِي. I will clean the earth from my enemies. وَأُورِثُهَا أَوْلِيَائِي. And I will make my friends to inherit the earth. وَأَجْعَلُ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِيَ السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةِيَ الْعُلْيَى. And I will make the position of the people who have disbelieved in me lower, and the position of people who have believed in me higher. أُحْيِي بِهِ أُحْيِي بِلَادِي. I will revive lands with Mahdi. And I will revive not only lands, I will revive my servants with Mahdi. Because many of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many human beings, they have life, but they are not really living. This is like what we have, you know, in Jahannam, that لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. The condition of life for many human beings nowadays is not a, you know, real life. They are just a little bit above death. Look at, you know, what happens in many parts of the world. So much poverty, so much hunger, so much fear. Many people in many parts of the world, when they wake up in the morning, they don't know whether they can have the day finished or they will be killed. You don't need to, you know, go to Africa. Just, you know, even in the West, now this lack of security is everywhere. Look at Iraq, look at Afghanistan, look at everywhere. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only I revive the lands with Mahdi, I'll revive my servants with Mahdi. I will uncover and unveil treasures of the earth for Mahdi. I will disclose my secrets to Mahdi. And, this is very important, which we'll talk later about, I will support Mahdi with my angels so that he can implement what I ask from him and he can declare my religion. Because before Imam Mahdi comes, there would be no proper declaration of religion. You have always to say something and not say something else. You have always, you know, to keep something, you know, for another time. But when Imam Mahdi comes, he would declare religion in its proper way. I will talk about this later, and inshallah I will, if I don't forget, I mentioned about Imam Ali, even Imam Ali couldn't complete this task. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran talks in Surah Al-Hajj number 41, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are believers that if I give them position, if I give them power, then what they do is that they establish salat and they pay zakat. الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ. This is very important. If you have power, if you have established yourself, what are you going to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the most important thing is to establish salat. So, do you think Imam Mahdi will do something else? Definitely Imam Mahdi would ask people, not by force, as I said, he will prepare them by taking away all the obstacles and inspiring them, he will call people to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people start enjoying worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't need to be forced. They go after it. It's like food for them. There is hadith interpreting something similar, that one of the things that happened when Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajahu Sharif comes is the establishment of ibadah and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, I think for the moment this is enough about the matter of worshipping and spirituality, but inshallah I will talk about the concept of religion later. Would all people become followers of one religion, or there would be different religions? What will be the case in Akhir al-Zaman? And many other things that we must mention. So maybe we need one, or at least one, or maybe two more sessions to finish this. And then inshallah I will talk about devotion to Imam al-Zaman, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Again, I am very sorry that tonight I was late, and inshallah you forgive me.
We start with the questions from the ladies. Anyone?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sorry to be just sort of very direct and blunt. It was unjust from you, give us lots of hadith, but not any indication from Quran. Can we hear some indication about Quran about it, please?
Yeah. In the case of Quran, normally whenever there is a mention, I, you know, refer to that. For example, you know, just I said, this is Quran. الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةِ. In the case of justice, we don't have justice in the Quran about Imam al-Zaman in particular, but we have justice in the Quran about all the prophets. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Indeed, all the prophets were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were given book and mizan, the balance. Why? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that the people can establish justice. And it's interesting that Allah doesn't say the prophets came to establish justice. The prophet came so that people establish justice. This is the job that people must do, not the prophets. Prophets have come to teach us how to establish justice. Yeah, inshallah, whenever there is a mention in the Quran, I will inshallah make it, but still I may forget, and thank you for your reminder.
As-salamu alaykum. A couple of related questions. If after the coming of the Imam, justice and equity is established, the Christians say something like the wolf will drink next to the sheep in the same river, do we have any kind of belief about this? And secondly, when justice is established and everyone is practicing and everyone is happy to read namaz and to do good things, then surely this is the kingdom of heaven on earth. And if it is not, when does judgment happen? Before this happens, or will we then all die and be judged after this period?
About the first question, inshallah I will talk when I talk about security, because I have a special discussion about security. We have the same idea in our hadith, that in the time of Imam Mahdi, for example, even animals will feel safe. In the case of second part, the establishment of the government of Imam Zaman is before resurrection. So this is the very last part of human life in this planet, and then after that all will die, and then they will be resurrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
When they're resurrected, if they're all practicing already, surely the conclusion is already foregone and they will go straight to heaven.
No, then there would be judgment. Then after judgment, some people will go to hell, some people will go to heaven, some people will go to A'raf, which is in between. Some people who go for heaven, they will remain forever. The people who go for hell, they may go after some time being in hell to heaven. There is only some group of people who remain in hell forever. But many people who have done, you know, some problem, you know, mistakes, you know, but they have had faith, in the end they will go to heaven. But after being punished and being, you know, cleansed, maybe after thousands of years, we don't know, but this is the concept that we have, that only some groups of people, like the people who don't have faith at all, or the people who murder innocent people, these are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they remain forever in hell.
Any questions from the sisters?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Just a question of justice. You mentioned that in current day there are so many areas of the world where there is injustice.
Yes.
What do you think Imam Mahdi would say about the question of Palestine and Israel? Because from our point of view, looking at it short term, we can go back 50 years and then we can say they should, all the people who were expelled should be back. But we have to look even further back, and then the question is not so clear, black and white. So, I mean, what the Jews did have a homeland, and I'm just trying to say, present both points of view. Do you think the true justice from Imam Mahdi will be a bit more lenient towards the Jews than we would be now?
Yeah, you know, whatever I say, I cannot do justice because in such a, you know, short time. But certainly, there would be no zulm to anyone, and whoever, you know, just wants his own rights should not have any fear from Imam Zaman. The people who want more than what they deserve, they should have fear. Otherwise, they should have no fear, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslims. And I need more time, you know, to talk about this issue of justice in Palestine. Thank you for raising and, you know, drawing our attention to this, but I think we need more time.
Okay, salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
You said that in the, when Imam Zaman comes, there are going to be bad people who will do challenges on Imam Mahdi.
Yeah.
How does Imam Mahdi die? And how does he be shaheed or something like that?
Yeah. Imam Mahdi would be the last person to die. Because there would be no chance of having human beings without Hujjah of Allah. And he is the last Hujjah of Allah. So he would be the last who dies. But his death would be caused by someone. Maybe that person would die more than earlier than Imam Zaman. But we believe that Imam Zaman would become martyred. But he would be the last person. Just because the sister raised this question, I should mention that if we look at to the issue of religion, you know, from perspective that we have been talking about, we cannot say some people who were, for example, Jews or Christians, if in their own time they had some piece of land, this must have remained for them forever. Because what Jews were supposed to do was to believe in Jesus. And then after the Prophet of Islam came, to believe in the Prophet of Islam. So, from a divine perspective, if you are talking, you cannot say that the people who kept to their religion, even after when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a new Prophet, they have rights for that. Yes, in that time, that was the land, promised land, for the people who had proper faith of that time. But they were supposed then to become followers of Jesus and then followers of Islam. And if this is, if you are taking it from a religious perspective, if you are taking from a, you know, worldly perspective, if you want to go for this mentality, then many parts of the world, the political geography of the world must change. Because many parts of the world belong to the people that now they don't belong to them. Like for example, Iran. Iran was much bigger than what is today. So even up to, you know, beginning of last century. So when can we say, okay, this belongs to us, or give it back to us? So just, you know, I wanted to say something. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One of the ulama, you may have heard his name, Ayatollah Uzma Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Ha'iri. He was the one who re-established the seminary of Qom. And he was a teacher of Imam Khomeini and Ayatollah Araki, who was a marja. And he had a very special experience. Once when he was young, he had a dream that in 3 days he will die and he must get ready for death. But he didn't take this dream seriously. He thought that this is azghas wa ahlam, you know, the dreams that are not realistic. So he says, you know, I continued my normal life. He was in that time in Karbala. And then he says, on Tuesday and Wednesday, after dream, I kept my normal life. On Thursday, because it was holiday for us, because Thursday and Friday, Hozas are holidays. So he said, we went to a garden with some of the friends. And we had some rest in the garden and also some scientific discussions we had with the friends, and we had our lunch. Then I had a nap, I had a sleep. When I slept, then I felt very cold and I started trembling, and he says, my friends came to me and whatever abba and dress, everything, blanket was there, they put on me, still I was shaking and trembling. And then I told them, you cannot do anything, take me quickly back to my home. So they took me back to Karbala. And I was very, very ill. And then I was just reminded of the dream that I had 3 days ago. That you have only 3 days and you must get ready for death. And he said, I realized that I am going to die. Then he said that I saw two people like men, two human beings, but they were, you know, angels, but appearing as two men. Sitting on my right and left, they looked at each other and said, this man is supposed to die. His life is finished. We must take away his soul. Then he said, at that time, I remembered Imam Hussein. And I told, oh Imam Hussein, I have not done anything in my life that can make me happy and can save me in Akhirah and in my eternal life. I have not prepared, I have not collected provision for myself. for the sake of your mother, please do something so that my death is delayed. And then he says, someone came and told those two men, looking at men, that Sayyid al-Shuhada has said, Shaykh Abdul Karim Ha'iri has made appeal to us, has called upon us. And we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to delay his death, so now you must leave him. Then those two told Sam'an wa Ta'a, by all means. And then three of them raised. Then he says, I became conscious and I saw the people around me are crying in my house. I wanted to move my hand, but I couldn't. And very slowly I, you know, wanted to make some moves so that they realize I am still living. But I couldn't make any move. So finally, he said, with lots of effort, I could a little bit move my hand, and then one of them noticed and said, be silent, don't cry. He's still moving. And after a short time, I became healthy. And then he was the one who established the Hawza of Qom. So indeed the whole Hawza of Qom now is in debt to this man and to Imam Hussein alayhi salam that gave him this chance. And it's written that whenever he faced some big challenge, big problem in running Hawza, because he was running Hawza in a very difficult time. And part of it was in the time of Reza Shah, you know, the father of the last king, and who was against ulama. Whenever he had problem, a special problem, he was asking to recite the Marsiyah for Ali Asfar and doing tawassul. So tonight, inshallah, we want to do tawassul to Imam Hussein through Ali Asfar.